This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Am I announcing this? You announce it. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, welcome. On the flyer, it says today's subject is preparing for the 3 weeks. But who looks at flyers anyway? So we're going to speak about something else entirely. But the only way to properly prepare for the 3 weeks is to hear this shiur. The reason is because Rosh Chodesh coming out, Parshas Korach, you can't miss this. Okay, so this is an executive last second switch, but you're going to be very excited when you hear the subject matter today. I want to talk about the story of Korach. What exactly was Korach thinking? And the episode of Korach is specifically connected to Rosh Chodesh. And that is because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Baba Basra about the adventures of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Chana had many exciting adventures. And the Gemara tells us, if you look at number 4, that a certain Taya, a certain Arab, told Rabba Bar Chana, would you like to see the place in the ground where Korach was swallowed? He said, sure. And by the way, I'm going to be leading a trip to the desert where Korach was swallowed. No, just joking. But maybe next year. But anyway, the Arab said, would you like to see Sa'achvi l'cha blu'e de Korach? I'm going to show you where Korach was swallowed. Chazoi tre bizei v'havikamavki kitra. He saw two clefts in the desert that were emanating smoke. So the Arab, shakal givava da amra, he took shearings of wool, v'amshina b'maya. He soaked the wool in water. He then took a stick, he took a spear, he stuck the spear with the wool into the ground, and he pulled it out and it was barbecued. Like we say, aloesh, you know, it was singed. So he said, that's where Korach is. He's in the oven downstairs. Then the Arab said, listen carefully to what Korach is saying. Amar li atzis my shamed. Listen to what he's saying. V'shamed tahava amrin, Moshe, v'soyros sayemes, v'hein badon. Moshe is true. The Torah is true. And we're phonies. So Rabbi Barachana said, how often does he say this? Amar li kol tulas in yoymi, mahadiluhu gehenem lahacha. Every 30 days, the purgatory kicks up Korach to the surface, kibasar bekalachas, like meat in a pot. You know, if you're cooking a cholent, and there's meat in the pot, you know, the meat is, you know, goes stirred up every so often. Every 30 days, Korach is kicked up to the surface. Va'amri hachi, Moshe b'sayros ayemes, v'hein ba'doen. Actually, there's an app now you could get to know exactly when Korach is about to surface. Okay? But the question is, so when? When exactly is Korach surfaced? Says Rashbam, Kol Rosh Chodesh! Every Rosh Chodesh, Korach kicks up to the ground. He says, Moshe emes, Soiros emes, Vehin badon. So the $1 million question is, why does Korach make this admission every Rosh Chodesh? It's today. It's if there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, then it's like old faithful. You know, you wait there the day before. Korach comes, you see, the tourists come. You take a picture. You could get postcards. You could get magnets, keychains. Korach, Moshe emes, Soirasa emes, v'anachnu badoen. Why on Rosh Chodesh? That's question number one. Question number two. What kind of guys did Korach gather to join him in his fight against Moshe Rabbeinu? So the pasuk says, "Va'yakumu lufnei Moshe, va'anoshim ibnei Yisrael, chamishim umasayim." He took 250 guys, nesiyei eda, princes, kriyei moed, men of opportunity, Anshei Shem, people of renown. Says the Gemara, what does this mean exactly? Says the Gemara, Nesiei Eda, Miyuchadim Shebe Eda, the most distinguished individuals in the Jewish people. Kriyei Moed, Shehayu Yoidim La'aber Shanim, they knew how to make an Iber month. You know, in the Jewish calendar, some months are 29 days, some months are 30 days. How do you intercalate? How do you determine that? It requires a very specific type of Torah knowledge. So these Talmidei Chachamim who joined Kairach, they knew how to intercalate the calendar. And what does it mean, Anshei Shem? Shehayu Lahem Shem B'chol Ha'olam. They were world famous. So the question is, I understand why Kairach is taking prominent people. Because that would add to his argument. Meaning if he could show Moshe that it's not just my opinion, but even the very prominent people agree with me, so that would substantiate Kairach's argument. I understand why Kairach took famous people. Again, that would lend credence to what he was trying to accomplish. But why would Kairach specifically get Talmidei Chachamim who knew how to intercalate the Jewish calendar? I mean, there are a lot of specialties in halacha. You know, you have some rabbis, they specialize in Dalet Minim. That's their thing. Ask them a question about Basar V'Chalav, they don't know nothing. But they know Esrog, they know Lulav. That's one type of Chelek in Torah. Some Rabbanim specialize in Arachayim, some in Yoredeya, some in marriage, some in monetary law. So Kairach could have gotten any type of Talmud Chacham. Why specifically is Kairach getting Talmud Chachamim who knew how to intercalate the calendar? But here's the real question. Remember, let's think back. When did the story take place? This is after the Torah was given. Where was Kairach at the time of Kabbalah Satayra? He was there with the rest of the Jewish people. Now Hashem tells Moshe, Moshe, you come up to the mountain, and I'm going to speak to you face to face, and all the Jewish people will see that I'm talking to you, so that in you they will believe in ever. Ba'avar Zois, because of this, Hashem tells Moshe, Hineni ba'ilecha ba'av he'anan, v'gam b'cha, Ya'aminu la'olam. They're going to believe in you forever. So Kairach had front row seats. Kairach was sitting there at Sinai. He sees Moshe Rabbeinu going up the mountain. He sees heaven come down onto the mountain. He sees the Almighty talk to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what is this man thinking? How could he start such an argument? Kairach was a pikeach. He was a smart man. How does he have the foolishness, the audacity, the stupidity to start up with Moshe Rabbeinu? Furthermore, he's challenging the selection of Aaron HaKohen. You remember what happened? For the 7 days of the construction of the Mishkan, Moshe puts up the Mishkan every day he's putting up the Mishkan. And every day Klal Yisrael is surrounding, and they're looking up to the sky to see if the Shekhinah is coming down. Shekhinah doesn't come down. So Moshe says, you know, Hashem, this is embarrassing. You tell me to put up the Mishkan, but you know, you ain't coming. So Hashem says, no, that's because we need Aaron HaKohen to come and do the Avodah. So everyone, you know, Aaron HaKohen comes, everyone's watching. Aaron walks into the Mishkan. He walks into the Mishkan. He brings his karban. Vayera kivayin Hashem ala Mishkan. The Shekhinah comes down. And Kairach is challenging the selection of Aaron HaKohen? I mean, 3 million people saw that Moshe Rabbeinu himself couldn't bring down the Shekhinah, and Aaron brings down the Shekhinah, and Kairach is challenging the appointment of Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay, good, you're listening. Of Aaron? It's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, on a pasuk in Chavakuk, Shemesh Yareach Amad Zavula, the sun and the moon stopped. Says the Gemara, what does this mean? That Ribbono Shel'olam, the sun and the moon says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu against Kairach, that's it, we quit. We're not shining, we're not rising, we're not setting. We're done, Ribbono Shel'olam. The sun and the moon committed to take a strike. that if the Almighty does not stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu and kill Korach, they're done. There's no day, there's no night, there's no summer, there's no winter. Isn't that odd? That the sun and the moon should take up the cause of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is the sun and the moon interested in taking up the cause of Moshe Rabbeinu? By the sin of the Meraglim, did the sun and the moon say, yeah, if you don't kill these Meraglim, we're not going to shine, we're not going to stand, we're not going to rise, we're not going to set? The sun and the moon never said they're going to stand up against the Meraglim. By the Mesoinanim, by the Egel, the Jews are worshipping the golden calf. Did the sun and the moon say, if you don't wipe out the perpetrators, we're done, we're going on, we're retiring early? Why does the sun and the moon feel a need to stand up to Moshe Rabbeinu in the battle against Korach? So these are some of the questions, and most importantly, what was Korach's punishment? He was eaten. He was eaten by the earth. He was swallowed alive. Why? Not so many people have that fate. There are not that many sinners in the Chumash that the earth opens up its mouth and swallows them. Why was that the fate of Korach? So, I want to share with you an amazing insight. It's based on a pasuk in the end of the parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Korach, Perek Tezayin Pasuk Chavches, Vayoymer Moshe, Bezois Teidon, with this you will know, Ki Hashem Shalachani, that God sent me, La'asos kol hamasim ha'ila, to do everything that I said. So listen carefully. Bezois teidun, with this you will know, ki Hashem shalachani, that Hashem sent me. This will prove Hashem sent me. And then Moshe adds, ki loy milibi. It was not my idea. He just said that. He says, this should prove that God sent me. What's he adding by saying, ki loy milibi, it's not my idea? Did you know there are three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did that Hashem never told him to do? But after he did them, Hashem said, Yashikayach, Yafeh, Ken? Good job. Shkayach. Attaboy. Good going, right? Not every one of those expressions, more Yashikayach. First of all, Moshe comes down, he sees the Jewish people worshipping the golden calf. What does he do? He takes the luchais, he shatters the luchais. Did Hashem tell him to shatter the luchais? Moshe Rabbeinu has a right. God just gave him the luchais from Shemayim. Moshe has a right to break them. He broke them. And Hashem said, Asher shibarta, yasher kaychacha sheshibarta. Good job. What else did Moshe Rabbeinu do on his own? Ribbono Shel Olam said, I want to give you the Torah on the 50th day after you leave Egypt. So we count Sfira, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 49, day 50. Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, I'm ready to come. Moshe said, no, we're not ready. Tomorrow. Hashem said, what do you mean? The whole creation has been waiting for this day. Tomorrow. Moshe said, tomorrow. We're not ready. We don't want it today. So Hashem said, okay, you're right. Let's wait one more day. The Torah was given on the 51st day of the Omer. That's why the first two letters of the Aseret Dibrois, Aleph Nun, 51. What's the third thing Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own? Moshe separated from his wife. You know that. Moshe separated from Tzipora. Did he do the right thing? After Kabbalas HaTorah, now the truth is at Kabbalas HaTorah, all the men separated from their wives. They had to be in a state of purity. After the Torah was given, the Pasuk says, Lech Emar Lahem, go tell the Jews, Shuvu lachem lo yalechem, go back to your tent, meaning husband and wife back together again. But then Hashem says, Moshe, viata, but you, poi, amoiri madi, you stay with me. So Hashem said, you're right, you separated from your wife, and I agree with you. That's the Gemara. Comes Tosfos, and Tosfos asks, how do we know that Moshe came up with the idea on his own to separate from Tzipora? And then Hashem said, you're right. Maybe Hashem just told him, separate. How do we know Moshe came up with the idea first, and then the Almighty gave it a haskama, maybe Hashem just told him to do it in the first place. Says Tosis, he had to have come up with that idea on his own. Because, do you remember in last week, Behaloyscha, Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe. What was the Lashon Hara that Miriam said about Moshe? Miriam says about Moshe, who does my brother think he is? He's some farfrumt. You know, I'm also a Navi. And did I separate from my spouse? Avram Avinu, he's also a pretty big tzaddik. He never separated from Sarah. Yitzchak never separated from Rivka. Yaakov had four wives. He never separated from any of them. So who does Moshe think he is? That's the Lashon Hara of Miriam. If Hashem told Moshe to do it, why would Miriam ever have spoken Lashon Hara? It must be that Moshe did it on his own. Got it? You got the story? Meaning if Miriam spoke Lashon Hara and it's reckoned Lashon Hara, then it must be that it was Moshe's idea. Yeah, but ask Tosfos. But why would Miriam speak Lashon Hara if after Moshe came up with the idea, Hashem said, you're right. So what was Miriam thinking? Okay, you get the question? Question is, Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe. Here, Lashon Hara is, who does Moshe think he is to separate from Tzipora? I'm also a Navi. I never separated from my husband. So who does Moshe think he is? Miriam, what are you doing? Don't you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe after Har Sinai to separate from Tzipora? I'm sure Miriam asked Moshe, hey, brother, what are you doing? What's going on? This doesn't look good for the family. And I'm sure Moshe said, Miriam, you might be my big sister, but the Almighty told me this is what I need to do. So why would Miriam speak Lashon about Moshe? You ready for this Tosfos? It was worthwhile to come to the Shir to hear this Tosfos. Says Tosfos! Miriam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I know Hashem told you to separate from Tzipora. But why do you think Hashem endorsed your decision to separate from Tzipora? Because you wanted to. And you're a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham. And the Lord, the Almighty, Hashem goes along with what you want, even though you're dead wrong. You hear what Tosfos is saying? That Miriam's Lashon Hara about Moshe was, I know Hashem said you're right. But Hashem said you're right because that's what you wanted. You didn't want the right thing. In other words, what's Miriam saying? Moshe Rabbeinu, you're abusing your kayach of being a Talmud Chacham. That means not every miracle that Hashem does for a tzaddik shows the tzaddik is right. The Gemara tells us a story about Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel used to have a policy that you have to be basically completely genuine to be allowed into the Beis Medrash. Remember this? Kol Talmud Shein Toche Kabarai Al Yikanes. Unless you're no hypocrites allowed. So like 1 out of 100 people were allowed into the Beis Medrash. And the rabbis had enough with Rabban Gamliel. They demoted Rabban Gamliel. They made who the Nasi? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Remember the story? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah becomes a Nasi. Okay, everyone piles into the Beis Medrash. I'll be available after the shir, okay? So, the Rabbi Lezer is the Nasi. Everyone's piling into the Beis Medrash. And Rabban Gamliel has Chalishas Hadas. He feels really bad that he prevented so many people from learning Torah. So Hashem comes to him in a dream, and Hashem, you know, basically gives him, you know, a pat on the back. It's okay, it's okay. And the Gemara says, it wasn't okay. And he was wrong. But Hashem gave him a pat on the back because he's a tzaddik. So Shamayim didn't want him to feel bad even though he was wrong. So he had a heavenly message that he's still a good rabbi even though he made the wrong decision. That was the Lashon Hara of Miriam. Can you imagine such a thing? Miriam said, I know, I believe you that Hashem told you you should separate from Tzipora. But the only reason Hashem said that is because you wanted it. And Hashem always leads a person in their desired path, right or wrong. You know, often people say, oh, they must be right. Look how much success they're having. No, success means nothing. Success means they really want to take that path. If you want to take that path, the Ribbono Shel Olam will lead you on that path. But it doesn't mean the Ribbono Shel Olam endorses that path. So comes Reb Yosef Tzvi Salant. Comes Reb Simcha Zisel Breida. And they say that this opens up for us a major vista in understanding the episode of Korach. Korach comes to Moshe. He says, Moshe, I don't understand. You know, my dad, Yitzhar, they're four brothers, the B'nai Kahas. Amram was the oldest. Yitzhar was the second. Could you explain something to me, Moshe? Why your father, Amram, one kid is the leader of the Jewish people, and then your next brother is the Kohen Gadol, and then you gave to your cousin the Nesius, and you skipped over me? So Moshe says, what do you think happened over here? You think there's nepotism? You think I appointed Aaron on my own? You think I appointed Elitzaphan on my own? The Ribbono Shel Olam told me to appoint them. Korach said, I know, I was there at Har Sinai. I know you're the man, Moshe. I know Hashem speaks to you face to face. But I also know that whatever you ask him, he goes along with. So what I'm accusing you is that when you were on Har Sinai, you said, Ribbono Shel Olam, let's keep this inside family job. You know, I'll be the leader. I'll give my bro the Kahuna Gedolah, and my cousin, my pal, I'll give him the Nesius. Hashem said, Moshele, whatever you want. Just ask, whatever you want. Tzadik goyzer, v'Hashem mekayim. Korach wasn't saying Hashem didn't endorse. Korach was saying that the reason Hashem allowed Aaron's appointment is because you asked him. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, come on, you think I would ask Hashem? So listen to what Korach says. He says, Moshe, actually, I wouldn't accuse you of being so blatantly biased as to ask Hashem. But Moshe, I know how much Hashem values you. Even if you wouldn't ask him explicitly, if you would just want Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol, then Tavas Libay Nasatalay, Hashem gives the righteous what they desire. You desired Aaron. You desired Elitzaphan. But if your heart would have been pure, you would have wanted me because I'm more fit for the job than your brother. That's the taina of Korach. Korach was saying Moshe Rabbeinu is abusing his koyach of being a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham. And Korach therefore gathers together 250 men. You know what they specialize in? They specialize in being ma'aber the chaydash. Now, there's one area of halacha like this. What's the halacha if you have a question in halacha, right? Kosher or treif. And you Google the shayla. And the Google says you could eat it. And you eat it. And it turns out Google made a mistake. Are you a shoygig or a mazid? You're a mazid. Mazid. Don't ask Google shayla. They usually don't get the right answer. What if you ask ChatGPT? What's the halacha? And you follow them. Shoygig or mazid? You're a mazid. What if you ask, yeah, my son, you know, he's learning in Kailel, I'm going to ask him the halacha. And he tells you something, but he doesn't have it right. Are you shogeg or mazed? You're a mazed. I know you love him. You're very proud of him. I know he spoke at his pre-1A graduation, but it doesn't mean he's a certified poisek. What if you don't know you a halacha, so you called your sister-in-law. And your sister-in-law, yeah, I once asked the Rav the Shaila and he told me X, Y, and Z. And she misremembered. You're shoygig or mazid? You're a mazid. You wouldn't ask any important question in that kind of fashion. You have to ask a certified poisek. What's the halacha if you ask a certified poisek and they make a mistake? You're shaygig. But you did an avera. You're a shoygeg. You need kapara. It might not be your fault. You're not amazed, but you're a shoygeg. They made a mistake. Let's say you ask the rabbi, kosher or treif? And they say kosher, but it was really treif. So you ate treif. You might have an excuse, but you ate treif. They're not going to change the reality. But there is an area in halacha where the rabbis, if they make a mistake unintentionally, then that's what the halacha is. If they make a mistake intentionally, that's also the halacha. And that is when it comes to Rosh Chodesh. By Rosh Chodesh it says, Atem, Atem, Atem. Atem afilu shagigim. Even if the rabbis make a mistake, they say, it's Rosh Chodesh, and it wasn't. Afilu mezidim. Even if they intentionally make a mistake. The Gemara tells us a famous story about Rav Gamliel, Rav Yeshua. They saw the moon. They thought they did. And then the next day they saw it new again. And Rav Gamliel proclaimed it Rosh Chodesh. Rav Yeshua said, no, it can't be Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh the next day. Rav Gamliel ordered Rabbi Yeshua to appear before him on the day that Rabbi Yeshua thought it was Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Gamliel commanded Rabbi Yeshua to violate Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yeshua didn't know what to do and he went to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said, it's not a problem. Rabbi Gamliel's the Nasi. He paskins Yom Kippur is a different day. Even if it's wrong, in Shamayim, Yom Kippur follows what the rabbi says, even if the rabbi is wrong. What if the rabbi says, you know, a Friday is Shabbos, so do you have to keep Shabbos on Friday? No. Let's say they make a mistake by day and night. Can day and night change? No. Day and night can't change. Months could change. Ibar Hashanah could change. So Kairach, in order to substantiate his claim that Moshe is abusing the power of the Rabbanus to manipulate the Almighty. You hear the claim of Kayach? Kayach is saying, Moshe, I know you're a tzaddik. You're a bigger tzaddik than me. You're a bigger Talmud Chacham than me. But you're abusing the power you have because what you want Hashem is going along with. But you're not wanting the right thing. You're wanting your brother, you should want me. And to prove that, Kayach brings with him 250 men who knew how to be Ma'aber the Chodesh. Because these guys, in their line of business, whatever they say, they force the hand of Shemayim that if they say this is Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh even if it's not. If they say it's not Rosh Chodesh even if it is. What Kairach was trying to say is the same way these 250 guys could twist the arm of the Almighty, that's what you're doing, Moshe. You're twisting Hashem's arm. How? So first Kairach says, you know, you asked Hashem to appoint Aaron. You want Aaron. You want Aaron. The same way Miriam, her Lashon Hara was, Moshe, I know Hashem agreed you should separate from your spouse, but He only agreed because you wanted it, but really you should not have wanted it. So Kairach says, I know you want Aaron, but why do you want Aaron? You have a bias. So what does Moshe say back to Kairach? Boiker. Boiker. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, they're gevulos yesh ba'olam. They're borders in this world. The same way day can't be night and night can't be day, you can't be the Kohen and the Leviah can't be go to a non-Levi. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu using the analogy of boiker, day and night? What he was telling to Kairach was, bad example. My appointment of Aaron is not like chadashim. It's like day and night. If the rabbi mistakenly says, okay, it's night now, you could say Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis. You can't say Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis. It's day now, you could do Mila, you could do Shofar. You can't do it. The Chachamim don't have the power to make day into night and night into day. Likewise, I don't have any sway on who Kuhuna belongs to, who Leviah belongs to. You're erroneously invoking the power of Rosh Chodesh in your argument against me in my appointment of Aaron. That is why the sun and the moon said, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you don't knock off this guy, we quit. Because he is abusing us. Kairach is summoning the sun and the moon as evidence that the Chachamim have the koyach to sort of come up with a decision and force the hand of Shamayim. So by every other sin of the Jewish people, the sun and the moon never wanted to get involved. It's not their gesha, not their business. Why are they mixing in with the sins of the Meraglim, of the sin of the Egel? But in this situation, Kairach is marshalling the sun and the moon to prove the Chachamim can make a decision and force the hand of Shamayim. So the sun and the moon said, if this guy is going to abuse us, we're done, we're finished. We're not going to serve anymore. We're retiring young. Sure.
How come Yoshua, when he said Chemish for his own dawn, the Yarech Ben Tayalon, he summoned also the heavenly bodies?
He could. Yeah, Yoshua did that. And for Yaakov Avinu comes to Harabayas, sun sets early. Yeah? Yaakov Avinu comes back to Eretz Yisrael, sun rises early. Right? So you see that the Chachamim have power over. By the way, I'll tell you something else. There's a halacha that, without getting into all the details, at 3 years old, the Gemara says, a certain physiological change happens to a girl. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. What if a girl is 2 years and 11 months, and they're about to turn 3 years old, and the rabbis say, you know, we should really make an ibriyar. We're going to add a month. So then what? Then the physiological change doesn't happen? Correct, the Gemara says. By the Rabbanon coming and adding a month to the year, it will change the biology of a human being. And if let's say it's there is an Ibriyar and they take it out, it changes it the other way. I mean, the Chachamim are given the capacity to change the calendar to the extent that they will change human phenomenon. And look, the tzaddikim could stop the moon. But if they say it's night and they're wrong, it doesn't make it night. In other words, in halacha, they could perhaps make a miracle. They'll stop the sun, they'll stop the moon. But if they say erroneously, right now it's nighttime, or they say in the nighttime it's day, that doesn't change the reality. They can't change the reality of day and night. They could change the reality of the segment of the month. Let's talk about why Korach was swallowed by the ground. When Hashem offers the Torah to the Jewish people, what was the response of the Jewish people? Nasa v'nishma. But on the other hand, the Gemara tells us that Hashem suspended the mountain over our head like a barrel. He said, Kaf aleim har kegigas. He says, Im mekablim asa Torah mutav. If you accept the Torah, great. V'im lav, sham teik v'ras. Otherwise, you're going to be swallowed by the ground. You're going to be crushed by the mountain. So it's a contradiction. Did we accept the Torah willingly, or did we have to be coerced? So the well-known answer is, the written law, we accepted willingly. The Torah Shebaal Peh, we had to be forced into it. So that means that if someone doesn't accept the oral law, what's the punishment of not accepting the Torah Shebaal Peh? The punishment is being swallowed alive. So Korach was not challenging Hashem. Korach was not challenging the Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. Korach was challenging the Koyach of Moshe as the one who disseminates the oral law. He was challenging the Torah Shebaal Peh. He was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not faithful in your capacity of the one who gives the oral law to Klal Yisrael, because you're using personal bias to manipulate the hand of heaven. So because Korach is accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of not being loyal as the torchbearer of the Torah Shebaal Peh, his punishment was he was swallowed alive by the ground. Actually, the Gemara also says that anyone who is misatzel, anyone who's lazy in eulogizing a Talmud Chacham, ra'oi l'kavroi b'chayim, he is deserving of being buried alive. Why? Again, he's not showing the proper kavod to the Torah Shebaal Peh, to the Chachmei Yisrael. The story goes, the Chassam Sofer used to go, after the Yom Nairam, he would go to the mineral baths in Carlsbad, Marienbad, Pechani, you know, even till today, the Skver Rebbe goes there. They have a certain mineral baths that are good for arthritis. So the Chassam Sofer was once there, and he goes into the bath, and they have these big, heavy metal doors. Now, it's good to be in a hot bath, but if you're there too long, then you know, like Kairach, you know. Anyway, the metal doors close, and Chassam Sofer doesn't know what to do. He's going to be closed up, alive, in this mineral bath. That's going to be the end. Chassam Sofer quickly thinks to himself, why am I being buried alive? Chazal say, anyone who is lazy to eulogize a Talmud Chacham should be buried alive. Chassam Sofer says, was there any Talmud Chacham that I didn't eulogize properly? He says, no, but it must be, there is a Talmud Chacham somewhere that I need to eulogize. He was Makabel, as soon as he gets out, he'll be Masbil the Talmud Chacham. He comes out, he hears word, Rav David Deitch passed away, Chassam Sofer went to be Masbil him. This is what happened to Kairach. He's challenging Moshe Rabbeinu's capacity of the giver of the Torah Shabbat Peh Teklal Yisrael. What's Kairach's proof? How do we know the Chachamim have the ability to make a mistake and to use bias and Shamayim will go along with it? What's the proof? What's calendar date proves
that? You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.